Hello, friends, and welcome again to Sermon and Song. We're pleased to have the opportunity to come to you with God's precious word today. I'd like to talk with you today on the program concerning the victorious Christian life. I find so many Christians that are not living the victorious Christian life today. They are being defeated, and that is not God's plan for us. So I'd like to talk with you about that on the program, so I hope you'll stay tuned for all of this ministry today. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and in verse 8 and 9, we have God, Jehovah God, answering the call of the people of God, the people of Israel, who were in bondage down in Egypt. Now, God does not want his people in bondage. That is a settled fact. God does not want his people in bondage. He did not want Israel in bondage. Oh, he had allowed it. There's no question about that. He had allowed them to be in bondage because they had rebelled against him, because they had been disobedient. He allowed them to go into Egypt, and there they were in bondage for a period of 430 years. But it was not God's original plan for them. It was not what God really wanted for them. And consequently, as we are the people of God today, the people of the church are the people of God today, and God does not want us to live in spiritual bondage. Now, sometimes God's people live in physical bondage. There are those right now in various parts of the world that are in bondage. They are in jail because of their stand for God, because they refused to go along with the systems that are anti-God and anti-Christ. And I'm sure God's pleased with that kind of dedication. But it is not God's will that a saint of God in these days be in spiritual bondage, bound up by Satan and his emissaries, bound up by the flesh, which is an enemy of God and an enemy of God's people. And so there is a victorious life. And we have the example of that in the Old Testament. Whenever God brought his people out of Egypt, he put them eventually into the land of Canaan. But let's look at this in verse 8. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Now the Lord says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. So God takes note of the fact that his children are in bondage, and the cry of his children come to him, and he answers that cry and delivers them out of the land of bondage. Now, first of all, we need to recognize that they came out of Egypt under the blood. In other words, the people of Israel coming out of Egypt under the blood is typical. Now, it happened just like the Bible says, but it is typical of our coming to know the Lord as our Savior by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way that we can be saved, and that is by the blood. Now, I know Christ died. I don't separate Christ dying from the shedding of his blood. I do not say that he could have shed his blood a little bit and continued to live, and our salvation would have been bought by him. That would be ridiculous. No one that I know of has ever said that. But I do declare that his blood is what makes an atonement for our sins. And that was all pictured for us when God redeemed Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they came out under the blood. Well, now, they came out under the blood and then went immediately into a wilderness journey. And for 40 years, they were in that wilderness journey. They did not have to stay there that long. It was not necessary that they stay in the wilderness 40 years. They should have gone across the desert after God gotten them across the Red Sea. They should have gotten across the desert in a matter of 2 weeks to 1 month, which should have been plenty of time. According to the way they moved out of the land of Goshen to the edge of the Red Sea, they could have gone even faster across the desert. But at least give them a month's time would have been plenty of time for them to have gotten into the land of Canaan. And that's where God wanted them. Now that's where God wants all of the saints of God today who are saved. He wants us in the land of Canaan. Well, now I know that we're going to move into the millennial kingdom of Christ one day, and that'll truly be a land of Canaan. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and that certainly is a part of the teaching of God's Word, the land of rest, the land of peace, when we are with Christ in the millennial reign of Christ, not heaven, but on this earth in the millennial reign. But there is also a picture to the saint of God, whenever Canaan is mentioned, of a victorious Christian life. I want us to look at that just a little bit. First of all, the land of Canaan was a land of expansion. It was a large land. That's what he says here in verse 8. He says, into a good land and a large. And so, according to the number of people that he brought out of Egypt, the land of Canaan was large. It was copious. It was much, much, much larger than they could imagine, really, for what they needed. And it certainly was much larger than the land of Goshen, where they had been for so many years. And so it was a large land. It was a land of expansion, a land where there was always room to grow. And so we find in the Bible the teaching that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 3. I want you to notice that with me. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 3. If so be, let's look at verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. All right, so you are a newborn babe when you get saved, and you are to take the milk of the Word and to begin to grow. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that you're not to stay on milk all of your life. You are to eat spiritual meat and grow. But then as he closes out, Peter closes out the second letter that he wrote, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. So we have the admonition to grow in grace, and to desire the sincere milk of the Word, and to grow thereby. And so the land of Canaan then, the land of spiritual blessing for the saint of God, is a land where there is no limit to your growth. There is absolutely no limit. Age does not limit you. Nothing limits you except your own fleshly desires and your own decisions not to grow. So it's a large land, and God wants his people to grow in this land. And so there are the instructions. When we come out of Egypt, when we pass under the blood, when we are truly saved, and we move into Canaan's land, we need to get out of the wilderness real quick. Quickly. We need to move out of the wilderness. We need to get the flesh conquered and get out of the wilderness and believe the Lord and get into a spiritual state where we can begin to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. So the land then of Canaan is typical of a large land of spiritual growth where we can have no limit as to how close we can get to God. No limit. God will allow us to come right on without any limit, growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Always room to grow. No one has ever yet reached full spiritual growth. There are some who would have you to believe that they have. And whenever a person thinks he has reached full maturity in Christ, then that person only shows that they have not even passed one of the first steps of spiritual growth, which is humility. And so we could talk about that, but it is a land of spiritual growth, a land of expansion, a land that is large. And then this land of Canaan for the saint of God is a land of supply. That is, it's a land where there is much food. And he says here, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land where there is no limit to spiritual food if you conquer that land. If you move into the spiritual realm, if you want to serve God and live for Him and be dedicated to Him, then you will have an abundant supply of food. And that, of course, is where your growth comes from. A babe would remain a baby if he were not fed anything but milk. Oh, he may grow up and become a great big fat gob, but he would not have the proper nutrition to grow properly. And so it's a land of food, a land of honey, sweetness. It's a land of fellowship. It's a land of satisfaction. It's a land where there is peace. Whenever we see so many dissatisfied Christians today, we wonder what happens to the peace of God that God has promised those that love Him. He says to His disciples, "My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you." And whenever a person is growing in grace and they are serving the Lord, they are turning their back on the things of the world, then they have spiritual food and they are satisfied with that spiritual food. They're not always longing after the onions and the garlic of Egypt. A miserable person is one who claims to be a Christian, but is always wanting to get back involved in some of the things of the world. Well, that's certainly not spiritual growth, and this land of spiritual growth that is typified to us by the land of Canaan is a land of supply. Where do we get that supply? Well, we get it, first of all, from the Word of God. We are fed as we read and study the Word of God. We get it when we assemble together in the house of the Lord, where God has supplied for us teachers to teach us the Word of God. And so, therefore, we eat and fellowship around the Word of God, and then we eat the spiritual food and fellowship with God's people in the house of God. A person who says they do not need to go to church, they do not need the church, the local church, that they can read their Bible for themselves and they can have their own little family get together and not go to a church, my dear friend, that person does not know the teaching of God's Word at all. He just does not know it. The Bible says, "Fail not the assembling of yourselves together." And your spiritual growth needs the fellowship with other Christians. And I run into those that say the church is not necessary. We've got hundreds of people, thousands of people, who spend all of their spiritual time, instead of going to church and getting involved in a local church, watching television preachers. And they say, "That's my television pastor," or "That's my radio pastor." Well, I have news for you, my friend. There is no such thing as a radio pastor. There's no such thing as taught in the Bible as a television pastor. They can be your entertainer. They may even give you some instructions, but they will not cause you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, for you have bypassed the entity that God set up for your spiritual growth. To keep a young Christian out of church would be like keeping a young baby out of the incubator and putting them in a refrigerator. There is no way that they're going to grow unless they are a part of. Let me make that more definite. There is no way you are going to grow unless you are a part of a local Bible-believing church. It's a land of food, a land of supply, a land of eating, where you can get that you need. And then not only that, but this verse tells us that it is the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites. So it's a land of enemies. It's a land of enemies. Just as sure as you begin to try to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, you're going to run into battles. The children of Israel did. After they crossed over Jordan and came into the land of Canaan, they immediately ran into battles. Jericho was a formidable city, and it must be taken. They had to take Ai. Eventually, they got Ai. And then they had to take the other cities in the land of Canaan. It was a land of enemies. The battle was against the former dwellers. Now, that's an interesting point. They had to fight against the people who were living there before they moved in. Now, what happens to the Christian whenever he gets saved and wants to live for God? He's got some residences in his life. He's got some things that are living within him that will become his enemies. Number one, the flesh is the enemy of the saint of God. The flesh itself will be your greatest enemy. For the flesh is sold out to sin. The flesh that you live in, even after you're saved, your flesh is not yet saved. Your flesh will still try to live the same old way that it wanted to. Now, the direction to the flesh comes from the Spirit on the inside. And so, therefore, you can have victory. But the old habits and the old tendencies and the old preferences of the former dwellers will be there. And so there is a battle. Now, let me try to explain myself a little bit. You do not fight the battle in order to stay saved. You do not conquer the flesh and conquer the habits and conquer the tendencies of your flesh in order to stay saved or in order to get saved. But after you have been saved and you are beginning to walk in the land of Canaan, you are beginning to enjoy the spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to run into trouble with your flesh and with your habits. And you need to realize that, and you need to set up armor against them. You need to keep yourself well fed on the Bible. You need to keep yourself well informed by going to church. You need to keep your mind and your heart set on the things of Christ. So it's a land of enemies. But then, praise God, it's a land of freedom. No bondage there. Land of emancipation. We're not forced to serve our master. We serve him because we want to and because we desire to and because we love him. We're not bound by laws and ordinances. We're saved by God's marvelous grace. And then the land of Canaan is a land of progress. And over in Exodus 23:30, I'll not have time to read it, but in Exodus 23:30, the Lord says, little by little, I'll give this land to you. You do not become a fully mature spiritual Christian overnight, but little by little, you get rid of sin in your life and confess it. Little by little, you fill your mind and your heart and your thoughts with the things of God, and you get out of the land of Egypt and the wilderness journey into the land of spiritual Canaan.